This is the wisdom of our Lord. This is the sunnah of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this universe he has created, that all of the ashraf the creation and the ashraf al-makhluqat, which is the superior form of creation, which is the human being, what he needs mostly, what is most important for the human being, for him to live in the world, for him to survive, and also for the hereafter as well, for the benefit of the hereafter, whatever, what is most important that we need, our requirement, in that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that resource for us, has provided for us. Whether we have the needs in this world or the needs of the hereafter, it's Allah's mercy, that Allah's hikmah and wisdom, that He's provided for that need. That so that His servant doesn't experience any difficulty, any hurdle, restriction for that purpose for which Allah has sent the human being to this earth. Allah has made it easy for the human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that, Allah has put abundance, lots and lots of quantity of that, what we need. And Allah has made it easy for us to acquire what we need for our purpose of life. Very easy example, let's take the wind. Without air, we cannot survive. We cannot stay alive. Do you need to go anywhere to buy air, to acquire it? We're sat here. We're sat here because Allah has given us air to breathe. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to work for it. We don't need to filter it. We don't need to do anything. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You can go out to the park, go home, sit here, go there, go here. The system of the air and breathing is continuing with Allah Ta'ala's fadl. So there's no limit to air. Let's take water. If we look at the food that a human being needs, there's nothing lacking in these provisions. The more we have the need, something we don't need like gold or silver or diamonds, jewels, we don't have the need for those to live. That's just luxury. So Allah Ta'ala has restricted those items in the world that we don't need. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala, with regards to the hereafter, has done the same method. So whatever is temporary, Allah has provided a little bit. Where our permanent abode is, the hereafter, where we're going to go, Allah Ta'ala has also prepared for the hereafter for us. How that for the world where that world where we are to go, the hereafter, and after going there, subhanallah, to the hereafter, we will have an abode, a place to live, and that place is called Jannah, paradise. Inshallah, we all will go into paradise with Allah's grace, Allah's blessings. And Jannah, subhanallah, paradise. Paradise, what can we say about paradise? Allah Himself has defined it. You cannot understand it. Your intellect cannot reach to the understanding of what is paradise. Allah has given an example of an apple. But that apple, we don't know what that apple will be in paradise. Allah has spoken about the drinks of paradise, but what grape will it be? How big will it be? What will be its taste? What will be the banana in paradise? Which hoors will they be? We have no idea. We cannot imagine. But it's there. Rather, hadith that comes to my mind, I just remembered, that the people of Jannah, paradise, Jannati, when the person of paradise will be given the good news, when you and me say, Alhamdulillah, Inshallah. Allah, we should be hopeful in Allah, isn't it? You or me. So when the good news will be given to that person, it will be told to him that you are a person of paradise, you've been made an inhabitant of paradise. Jannati, won't be just told to him like this, in a small way. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he narrates this hadith. He said, it won't just be told to you like this, that you're going to paradise. Rather, what will happen? An angel will be destined first, ordained for that person of paradise. He'll be selected. That angel will be selected for that Jannati. And that angel, before he explains to him, he will put his hand on the heart of that Jannati. The angels. Because we're used to putting hands on the heart, aren't we? The fingers have been applied. So what will the angel do? He will put his hand on the heart of that inhabitant of paradise, the angel. And after putting his hand, then he'll say, that good news to you for paradise is being given to you. What's the reason for putting the hand on the heart? The reason is that it will be such a great piece of news. We just think with ease, paradise. But when he will see paradise at that time, that Jannati will be seeing that from where he is saved, and Allahu Akbar, from the hellfire, the intensity, and he will be seeing that he's saved from hell, and he's attaining paradise at that second. We don't understand these points. Someone was sat there enjoying life in the world. We understand this. Oh yeah, dunya, enjoyment. Tell you about anything about dunya, we'll run after it like mad people. But that's the real ultimate gift. You'll be looking at paradise, will be in front of him at that time. The jannati. And on his heart, he will put his hand, the angel, he won't want him not to be able to bear it. Yeah, that he falls and goes, you know, a person goes out of it. For example, he goes into hal, jazb, same condition. So Allah Ta'ala will select an angel, give him the job, the duty, put his hand on his heart and tell him, Jannah is for you. And how will he enter into paradise? The jannati. Because now we're talking about this topic, so let me explain to you. Let's wander about in Jannah for a little while. Yes, the night of Jummah. So let's wander about in Jannah for a little while. Yeah? Why? So what will he do, that person of paradise? Subhanallah. Before the angel, yes, so the angel will be selected. And a great Shaykh Ahmadullah narrates this hadith. He says, okay, come. So now you've heard this. He will say, now let me take you through paradise. He says, please, please take me through. Because I don't know what's left, right, the route, what road I should go on, what are the signs. You'll say, that's why I've been selected for you, given the duty that the person who doesn't know, let him wander through paradise first to get accustomed to it. Subhanallah. So what will happen is that the angel will take him towards paradise. And as he's going towards paradise, he'll see, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. He'll say, Subhanallah. He'll be so happy. You say, why are you happy? The angel will ask him, the jannati, say Subhanallah, everybody. Subhanallah. The way is that you're looking at and you're saying Subhanallah. He'll say that I'm looking at that he'll say, I'll be going through paradise, that these palaces, these mansions, what's the system with which it's been made? Somebody will be see silver, jewels, pearls, rubies, diamonds. You say, all these mansions and palaces in paradise, so beautiful. He will say, yes, very beautiful. He says, can you see them? He'll say, yes. You say, these are all yours. These houses are yours. Subhanallah. These are your houses. He'll say, these are mine. He'll say, yes, they're yours. And as he's wandering along, when you get close to the house, his mansion, his palace, from that palace, alhamdulillah, Allah will prepare it such a way for his welcome that all the malaika and whoever the creations are inside, his hoods and servants, all will be stood in a line saying, marhaba, welcome, you are welcome to your home. Subhanallah. Where we are sat here wasting time in flats in this world, and the bills we're paying, and we're sitting on carpets, and we just waste all our life. We work all life long just to buy one house. Subhanallah. But make your palace in paradise, brothers. People, make your mansions in paradise, where you will get forever the luxuries. Forget the dreams of this world. These are temporary things in this world. Tell me, when you left India, where did your house go when you left India? Yes, when you say, this is my grandfather's house, my great-grandfather's house, and this is my relative's house. Do you remember the house ever now? Sometimes you go back there, or you stay in some relative's house. When you go back to your town, those things have disappeared. In the dunya, we can see those things, our young life, our house outside, everything where we slept. When we migrated here to this country, it's become a dream here. So if we go back home, then we don't like those beds, the straw beds, the charpais, those things that we left behind, we don't like them anymore. We say, quickly, quickly, please book the return ticket. How many days left to go back? And they were found, I'm coming back now. Just 2 weeks have passed. I'm going to leave here now. I've had enough. Wait for me. Book the return ticket. That place where you grew up. So brother, speak about Jannah, paradise. Will you remember the world at that time? Allahu Akbar. For which we are given our lives, dying. We say, die, give your life, give everything. But remember one thing. Remember one thing. Don't forget that place where you are going to go. The hereafter. If you are going to give your life and energy, strength, then give it for that. If you want to attain something, attain the hereafter. Look here, you're sat here, this world, and suddenly Allah has brought you here, to this country. And when your envelope, now you're sat in this gathering, and when the envelope will open on the night of Jummah, on this day, this month, what month is this? What month is this that we're in? Islamic month. In this month, this individual on the night of Jummah, he arrived to the gathering, he did the dhikr of Allah. Allah said, where are those people? Where are those groups? Where are those people? You'll see that this reward is mine. Allah will say, yes, this is for that night that you sat and you did the dhikr of Allah on that night. SubhanAllah, you see the reward in the hereafter. look at and understand the value of this gathering. Small things people left. People will have come for small excuses. They didn't come. Oh, I'm sneezing. I've got cold. His wife will say, oh, don't go to the majlis today. Let's go to a takeaway restaurant today. Leave it. Child was saying, dad, don't go. You always do dhikr. Ooh, don't you do any other action? You just do dhikr all day long. Spend some time with the kids. The wife will say, so then your children, you remember your shop, your business. Aha, how we are disregarding the palaces of paradise. Iman says, and our yaqeen and certainty says, on those things we should be so strong that we should see the things of the world as a waste of time, as a total bikar waste of time when we compare to the hereafter. The Quran, that's what the Quran does. It makes us revise. Otherwise, what need is Allah Ta'ala has to give us Surah Haman, Jannah, Paradise. Why is Allah explaining Paradise to us? Why? For this reason, these people, so their iman, their yaqeen, certainty can become strong. So their belief becomes so strong for the hereafter. فَبِأَيِّ أَلَىٰي رَبِّكَمَا تُقَذِبَانَ Allah says, how many of my ni'mas will you reject for the sake of these small houses in the world? Don't reject the treasures of the Paradise, Allah says. And we reject them, we kick them into touch. Such great ni'mas Allah is giving to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us great treasures of the hereafter. So brothers, this is Jannah, Paradise. So for Jannah, what has Allah Ta'ala prepared for us? Very easy to acquire Paradise. Say Subhanallah. Very simple and easy to acquire Paradise. Very easy. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala wants us to get into Paradise. That's why Allah has made it easy. Allah says, do amal for Paradise. Do deeds for Paradise. We are in the ummah of Rasulullah SAW. We are his ummatis. High class ummah. The best nation in the universe. Allah has put all the ummahs behind us. We are the front, foremost. Say Subhanallah. The best ummah. That's who we are. And what are our actions? How we reject Allah's ni'mas. And we read Surah Rahman. Recite it. We think Surah Rahman is for recitation. It's not for recitation. It's to remind you. Surah Rahman reminds you this verse. Look how Allah has prepared paradise for you. And Allah says alongside that, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَىٰي رَبِّكُمْ أَتُكُمْ Such whores, maidens, wives, tents. And you're rejecting these things. You're shunning these things. You're ignoring these things, Allah says. Is it? You're ignoring my treasures for small things, for like your wife or a bit of dunya in the world. Look. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very easy indeed that all of this world is based on what? This was our topic in the beginning, wasn't it? And Jannah came while we were talking, so we've introduced Jannah as well. So there are two things, only two things we need. On these two things, our whole Jannah, hellfire, rewards, walayat, titles, status, piety, Allah's based on two things. Two things. And these two things are very easy, very simple, that even the young child, if you call him, even he knows those two things. The child. Very simple formula. And everything depends on these two things. You'll be surprised. All of you know this verse. These are the two things that everything, all success was based on these two things. What are those two things? Good and bad. Good deeds and sin. Say Subhanallah. These are the two factors, main summary essence of deen. Every action, the essence of every action is based on these two things. Either it's a good deed or it's a sin. That's it. And on this the decision will be made. On these two points, everything from this world until the hereafter, the decisions will be based on these two. Good deeds? Look. How important is a good deed? One good deed. That the whole success and what you're going to attain, you're going to get for one good deed. Jannah you will get due to good deeds. The palaces of paradise you'll get due to good deeds. Or not, tell me. Tell me. Or not. Everything is based on good actions, good deeds. In this world, all of the titles, your piety, ghaus, kutab, abdal, mujaddad, reviver, wali Allah, everything based on what? Good deeds, pious deeds. What's the definition of a good deed? That action due to which Allah becomes happy. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's a good deed. Any action that results in Allah's happiness becomes what? Say it. It's a good deed. Yes? Is it not easy to understand this? Tell me. So now, the human being, if he controls himself in life, that me, I'm only going to do those actions due to which my Rabb, my Lord will become happy, Subhanallah. What does that become? A good deed. A pious deed.
a righteous deed. A good deed, if you don't have a good deed, you'll get nothing. And on the flip side, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? So now these are the words of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he say? He made it even easier for us to understand. Even easier than this. That don't think that good deed, don't be worried about good deeds, running after good deeds. My beloved colleagues, don't be worried. Don't be concerned, my beloved colleagues, my beloved brothers and sisters. Don't be upset and down that you think that Jannah has been shown to you. That for example, you need a good deed which is very severe, hard as a mountain. No, Allah's glory and greatness is such. Allah Ta'ala wants that even a person like me, useless bone idol, even he goes into paradise with simple deeds. And because Jannah, Allah wants us to be people of paradise through good deeds, then Allah's Nabi Sallam announced, Allah's Nabi Sallam said, do not think that it's difficult to do that good deed, that it's severe or it's hard or it's too difficult, that you can get paradise with ease, that even a small so-called good deed, if you do that, subhanAllah. He announced that beware, be aware, even a small so-called small good deed, don't consider it minor, don't think it's insignificant. Don't think it's unimportant. It's a great action, a good deed. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Look how easy Rasulullah has made it for us. That the paradise Allah Ta'ala is talking about, due to one small good deed you can attain paradise. One good deed can make you earn paradise. So what's the lesson Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to us? That beware. Beware. Never leave a good chance through which you get the ability to practice a good deed. Never shun that opportunity. Never. Tell me. You know, like you stood at the shop and don't let one customer go. Someone tells you, you tell your salesman, your employee, don't let the customer go. Grab hold the customer. Sell him any of our products. Even if it's 5p profit, sell it to him. You'll say to your employee, you train your employee, don't let the customer go. Don't lose the customer, make him, trap him, and sell him cheap goods or whatever, but make sure you get a sale. That's what the boss says. So Allah Ta'ala's Nabi said, don't worry, for Jannah, even if you have to implement a so-called small deed, don't leave it, practice it, subhanAllah. That's how he reminded us. So who is Allah's Nabi telling? Who is he giving the ta'lim to? Education to his murids. And who was his first murids? The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. And the Shaykh gave the ta'lim to his murids, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. And those Sahaba, the companions, subhanAllah, those companions, one Sahabi, one companion, take one companion. One companion, if you look at his sandals, the dust on the particle on his shoes of the feet of the Sahaba, take all the walis of Allah today, combine them, put the line together, they cannot get close to the status of the dust on the shoe of the Sahabi. And that Sahabi, Rasulullah is saying to them that don't leave one good deed. If that's their situation, then what's our condition today? What do we do today? What do we do today? One deed on this one hadith, if we practice today, wallahi, I say by Allah, if we do amal on this one hadith, subhanAllah, then deen and dunya, easily you'll acquire this world and the hereafter, easily. No power will stop you going into paradise if you do amal on this one hadith. And this is the gathering of action, brothers. This is the gathering of action. It's not gathering of speeches and talks and discourses or technical ilm. This is dawah. Sharing and boosting your iman. And boosting what? That beware, be careful after today. Don't do this. That you get a chance and opportunity to practice a good deed and you leave it. Don't do that. Don't do that. This is our history today. Rasulullah is telling his Sahaba, and we're hearing that today. Don't leave the opportunity. And what did that example become for us? SubhanAllah. One Sahabi, one companion. He went for a little while. He went to the marketplace. Then he came back and he sat down. And then he got up. He went back to the marketplace. And then his servant said, Hazrat, what are you doing here? Oh, my Sheikh, I'm sharing this hadith with you. A Sahabi, you go to the marketplace, you wander around, then you come back, then you go back, you're not buying anything, and you know, I didn't see you buying anything, I didn't see you doing anything else. What's the situation? Why do you keep going to the bazaar? He said, I saw my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I heard from him. This is the same amal of this hadith, that don't leave an opportunity, that never leave a chance to practice good deed. He said, I'm sat here, I'm free. I thought, why should I earn good deeds? What good deed? Now tell me and you, let's look into our lives now. That what do we do? That do we think we are deserved of paradise? Look at the Sahabi. What good deed? What did he go to do at the marketplace? The shopping center? He said, people are busy. I saw in the bazaar, the marketplace, people are busy in the stalls, buying, selling. There are more people there. And when you go there, there's a rush. You know, like Saturday for us is a rush. You go to the shopping center. Which shopping center is that? What center is that one? What is it? Salford? Is it? I can't remember now. So if you go to that center, that big center, go on a Saturday afternoon, peak time, rush, lots of people, there's a buzz, you like going there. Same with the prime time of the bazaar, he would go at that time. He said, you go at that time, there's a lot of rush and people. He said, I come for this reason, there are more people there in the bazaar. And I heard from Rasulullah SAW, subhanAllah, look at this sahabi, that when you give salam to others, then you get 10 rewards. And upon your salam, then you'll get the 10 mercies of Allah. You'll get 20 good deeds. And if you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you get 20 good deeds. If you say, Barakatun, then 30 good deeds. So while walking through the bazaar, I say more salams to more people and I acquire the good deeds. Subhanallah. So we're earning the deeds of the world and I'm acquiring the good deeds of the hereafter. He had so much yaqeen on Rasulullah's words. So much yaqeen. And that sahabi, who Allah Ta'ala announced about him, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that I am pleased with you, I am happy with you, pleased with you, Jannah is for you, O Sahaba. Such praises Allah gave for the Sahaba in the Quran, the noble companions, we cannot imagine. And then on top of that, and who are they attached to? Which Nabi? There was given the guarantee that whoever you love, you will rise with that person in paradise. So who loved the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than the Sahaba? So what we realize and learn, all of the Sahaba will be with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannah. Because you will be with whom you love. So why did that Sahabi have to go to the marketplace to acquire good deeds? If he was, let's take Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. What a companion he was. What a great companion. High status. The Rasulullah said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. Did he have a need to acquire good deeds? He got up, he went around the marketplace, came back. He got up, went to the marketplace, came back. And he was reciting a kalima. He said, I heard from Rasulullah that whoever goes to the marketplace, and after going, he recites the fourth kalima. If he recites it, 1 million good deeds to his name, 1 million times his level will be increased, and 1 million sins will be eliminated. So Umar, is he a waste of time, bone-idle man, that he doesn't want to earn good deeds, and he sits there doing nothing? SubhanAllah. Have we ever gone to the marketplace with this niyyah? Okay, I'll go to the shopping center. This is the way to the masjid. And this is also to the way to the masjid. And this path will go to the shopping center. I'll go through there. I'll recite the kalima. And I'll earn for the hereafter on the way to the masjid. SubhanAllah. So are you getting paradise or not? Tell me. Guaranteed paradise. And what tarbiyah Rasulullah is giving to his beloved companions. They didn't become ashiks for nothing. Lovers, when this hadith was explained that doing a good deed is not difficult, then he said, I saw, Allah Ta'ala knows what Rasulullah's blessed eyes, what they saw, what they couldn't see. Allah knows and his Rasulullah knows best. He said, I'm seeing. And Rasulullah, oh, the Sahaba asked, what are you seeing? He said, I can see a man in paradise. Say, Subhanallah. He said, I can see a man in paradise. He was making our yaqeen strong for weak people like us. He explained in detail. He said, I can see. He's not saying, I'm telling you. He said, I'm watching. There's a man in paradise. Rasulullah is saying, I can see a man in paradise. And he's not just sat in paradise enjoying himself. No. In paradise, he is reclining on the couches, on the sofas, on the cushions. What a description. What does this mean? That extreme high level desire he had for luxury. The tariqah was being told it. That, for example, you know, like a child, and you take him to, say, to such a place where there's a lawn or a carpet, and first they'll start rolling around on it, jumping up and down and playing. The children, because they like it, they enjoy it, that luxury, that top that they're on. They like it so much, they get a new thing, new carpet, lush carpet, or new surface, or mattress, they start jumping up and down. Children, isn't it? Children. So Rasulullah gave a great expression in this hadith. May I give my all for this hadith? That Jannati is enjoying himself luxury and comfort and pleasure. That he is reclining on the couches, on the luxury sofas. SubhanAllah. That he's attained the pleasures of Jannah. What great enjoyment. SubhanAllah. He is enjoying himself in paradise. Allah's Nabi says, I'm explaining to the Sahaba. But remember one thing. Look how the lesson was given to the Sahaba, delivered. That he didn't do some massive action, too difficult, or he did too many amal due to which he attained paradise. That, for example, that I've explained. He said, I can see. Why did he get paradise? Ya Rasulullah, some Sahaba asked, what was it he did to get paradise? Why did he attain paradise? He said, what happened once was that this person who got paradise, who was enjoying himself there now, that he was a waste of time. This individual, because he's starting from the bottom. Rasulullah always look. He said, even my ummah, there'll be bone-idle people. Don't be worried. Even for you, the path is open. Even through this good small deed, you can attain paradise. That if you are wasting your time committing sins, but don't leave the small good opportunities. You can at least practice the small deeds. Can you not say salam alaikum to somebody else? Tell me. Can you not share salams with other people when you go home? Okay, if you don't find anyone on the way, at least you find your wife when you get home. Or don't you find your wife when you get home? At least a child will come to you. Now, why should I give salam first? Why doesn't he or she give salam to me first? I'm husband, she's my wife, she's below me, we say. I'm father, he's my son, he should give salam first. Why should I lower myself, we say. Astaghfirullah. Never think like this. If you want to see takabbur, you'll find out at home, am I mutakabbir or not? Am I a man of pride? A man who is lenient with his wife, a man who's lenient with his wife and his akhlaq, he will never be mutakabbir insan. Never will he be full of pride. Most of all, kibr a man shows in his family at home, the mutakabbir. That's the place. His kingdom is run, not his wife or kids or nobody. Fighting all the time. He's arrogant and stubborn and he doesn't want to come down. He doesn't want to learn himself. When he leaves, he'll become a mouse in front of people. No, salamu alaykum. Soft in front of people and running after people, and he's bowing himself and lowering himself to please people. Big drama. Mutakabbir, the biggest, big sin. Takabbur, pride, kibr. Yes? By chance, it just came into my mind this point. It didn't come before that. So, if you want to know if you're a man of pride, that's how you'll learn if you're a man of pride. When you get home, that how much do you go and share things at home and lower yourself? But how lenient? So how? Yes, Rasulullah's hadith, Subhanallah. As Aisha Sadiqa radhiyallahu, what did she say? That how did we sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Subhanallah. Gupshup, talking, chatting, gossiping, laughing, joking. The wives would be sat there, Rasulullah would be. But he transformed at that time, as Aisha said. Soon as Azan came, then it looked as if Rasulullah had nothing to do with us at that time when Salah time came. This character you need to develop. In your house, bring this environment to the home. Sukoon, peace, contentment, enjoyment, relaxation, talk to each other. Wife is unhappy with you, don't reply to that. Yeah, don't take it badly if they're unhappy with you. No. We don't even give salam to our family folk, house folk. So easy a good deed to practice. Leave the masjid that you don't even see. Don't even look at each other in the masjid. Don't even give salam. We don't even talk to each other. That, for example, was a fashion that we can't give salam to each other now? Salam. That's when we say, oh, hi, how are you doing? Hello. Hello, this has become fashion now. Even now, we just put our hands up, our generation, new generation, they're totally wasters now. Have you ever, because you never go home and give salam to your children, then they do the same. We're so arrogant and full of pride. Why should I give salam to my children? My son? Give salam to him? No way. Never given salam. So they come to high and fists to each other and elbows to each other, and this is their Islam. In front of the father, they do the same, fists and elbows and high. And then they say, oh, we're gone, we've lost the deen, our family. This is what happens when you change the culture. This is how cultures and traditions change. So, such a small good deed of giving salam, we cannot earn these good deeds, tell me. From the morning till evening till night, how many salams? Count them. Count, I did this many salams today, then be happy. Alhamdulillah. Allah, I'm grateful to you. Tomorrow Allah says, I'll give you more opportunity. And the small good deed, the road, Allah's Nabi said, look, what did this man do? The man who was in paradise. Yes, he was a waste of time. Bone idle. He had no good deed to his name, but he saw there was a tree and he observed that tree. The person who's coming, going, and it's hard for him. And that for example, that he'd put his clothes together so their clothes wouldn't tear, and that tree was in the way. It was an obstacle, a barrier for people. They didn't want to injure themselves while they went past. He saw that here's a hurdle, a barrier. People are upset. He came. He said, I'm sorry, every time he came with a tool and he cut that tree and he put it to the side. So the obstacle for the people in their path was removed. People are coming happily and they're walking freely. And he passed away and died. After dying, Allah said, come here, my servant. You did a great, massive deed. That he was afraid that he's going to get punished. I didn't pray salah, I didn't do good deeds, Jumma didn't go on time, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Today I'm going to be punished. Allah Ta'ala opened up doors of paradise for him. for that person. So, my beloved, you and beloved servant, Allah's Nabi said, don't think small deeds are minor, they will deliver you to paradise. Don't think deeds are insignificant. Join them together, accumulate them. Small deeds, accumulate them. So much thawab. Now, it's not the case that, no, I need to do big actions and go in paradise. This is not the case for a mu'min in Islam. First and foremost is consider that I can't do big deeds. I start from the bottom, from the bottom step. Say Subhanallah. And then a person succeeds. So tell me, that such great sahabi companions, and they went to the marketplace, shopping center to earn good deeds. Let me get this good deed and that good deed. So what this proves, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, that why do you shun the opportunities? That a person should never shun the opportunity to practice good deeds. A person of Iman. Jummah is tomorrow, isn't it? Tomorrow is Friday. So shall I tell you some good deeds for Jummah? Such great deeds for Jummah. Subhanallah. Look. What a great opportunity. Allah gives us so many Jummah. This is a night of Jummah. How great an action is this in the night of Jummah that we're doing. Even before Jummah, what a great deed we're performing. How Allah Ta'ala has assembled us. How Allah in a beautiful way has started our day of Jummah. When this is just the beginning of Jummah, isn't it? Jummah started, the night of Jummah precedes the day of Jummah. So, on the day of Jummah, this hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, and the servant of Allah, if he does ghusl as a bath, how hard is it to have a bath? Everyone's got water at home. Have a bath, ghusl, and wear the libas, the sunnah libas, sunnah attire, dress, apply perfume, say subhanallah, fragrances, hadith, apply some fragrance, wear good dress, good libas, sunnah libas, have a bath, do ghusl, become pure, clean, fresh, and then depart for Jummah. And then when you go and pray Jummah, and listen to the khutbah attentively, and don't pester anybody, knock anybody, and then go back to your home. Do you know what reward you've attained? Subhanallah. From one Jummah to the next Jummah, all your sins forgiven. Forgiven. Subhanallah. What a great deed. You've had a bath yourself. You put the clothes on yourself. Yes, you become fresh, clean yourself. You're not giving anything to Allah for having a bath. But these are small good deeds. These small, don't think they're minor. Do them. Do these good deeds. And then, in Sahih Muslim, on top of this narration, there's another few points. It's stated, on top of these actions, one Jummah to the next Jummah, 3 days extra add on to that, even that many days of sins are forgiven. 10 days. Subhanallah. From one Jummah to another Jummah, add 3 days. And then, subhanallah. In Tabarani, there's another narration. Same subject. In Tirmidhi. What is that narration? It stated, not just this, you'll get all of this, and on top of that, another bonus. On every footstep when you go to Jummah to pray Salah, 1 year's Ibadah will be written in your records. 1 year's Ibadah. In Tabarani, another extra bonus is narrated. Subhanallah. 1 year's worship. Not just that, thawab of one whole year, footstep, every footstep, you get reward. And then Tabarani says, when you have a bath, then due to having a bath on Jummah, that from the roots of the hairs on your body, Allah will remove the sins. Subhanallah. Tell me what a great, great reward Allah is giving. And then Surah Kaf, how long is it? Is it very long? Surah Kaf, 10 minutes. That whoever recites Surah Kaf on Jummah, subhanallah, from one Jummah to the next Jummah, he will have noor. Will be in between those two Jummahs for that person. Tell me. Noor. So these actions, they're not small. These actions we can't do. And you start Jummah like this. Imagine now. And you come, you pray Fajr, Salah, Jummah. You stay seated. After Fajr, you do Dhikrullah on Jummah morning. Allahu Akbar. You do Dhikrullah, remember Allah. You sit on the day of Jummah. After Fajr, you do Dhikr. And after doing Dhikr, you pray Ishraq at sunrise time from Allah. Look at the reward. 70 Umrah, 70 Hajj Thawab. But we don't want to come. We have no need. We have no need. So who is Allah Ta'ala created and constructed these deeds for? Tomorrow, will we be able to go into paradise that Allah Ta'ala is introducing to us today? Will we attain those rewards in paradise? Tell me. Tell me. But we don't have belief. Well, no. How can this be? Oh no, I don't need this. Tell me. All of these things we've discussed, all of these matters, the noble companions practiced them. These were due to good deeds they attained what they attained. Due to good deeds they got what they attained. And close to Allah, this has also been explained, the close to Allah, it's not necessary, Allah Ta'ala knows, that how Allah receives us, which amal Allah will accept. We should know this much, that whatever deed we do, that maybe is due to this deed, Allah will forgive me. In our minds, we are fatwas of shaitan. Deception of shaitan in our heads. Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, why did they do all of the good deeds? Because in their mind, they had the belief that this tahajjud, this action, that they didn't think that this is it and that's enough for me. He said, no, maybe this will be good enough for me. Maybe this will save me. Maybe this will save me. This was their concept and ideology. Us, no. I am arrived there already. Yeah, let me explain to you one thing in passing. That such an open playing field, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us da'wah with regards to good deeds. Open playing field for us. Open opportunity. That we should not cease and stop in going to Jannah. How many people are following this methodology? Very few people. Very few. From morning until evening, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us. If you start counting, you cannot count how many chances we have from morning till evening to earn paradise. So many opportunities. So many. You can smile at somebody, shake hands with someone, say salam, do this, do that, help somebody, assist somebody, tell somebody the way to get somewhere, do something. So many actions. If you make niyyah from morning time, I'm going to earn good deeds upon good deeds upon good deeds. Make the intention. Every action of your day will drag you towards paradise. From house, inside, outside your whole house, within your house, there are open opportunities. Wife, children, house, family, everything Allah spread out. That keep on earning, keep on earning, keep on earning good deeds. So shaitan, what does he do? Shaitan. Why don't we practice good deeds? Because shaitan is our greatest enemy. Open enemy, shaitan. So he has sealed this path from us. Oh, this is too easy for the Muslims to go into paradise. Shaitan says, what will happen to me? I don't want him to go into paradise. Or them to go into paradise. So he does a few things. Yes. Why doesn't he allow us to practice these good deeds? Why don't we practice good deeds? What does shaitan do? He injects waswasa. Whispers. For example, in front of you, a good opportunity arises to say assalamu alaikum. And you know if I say assalamu alaikum, I'll get this many rewards. Shaitan, he injects waswasa into your ears and heart. He injects you. Oh, you ain't gonna get any good deeds or reward. You've just committed a big sin. Look at your face. You know how sinful you are? Huh? No salam's gonna help you. Go, leave this person. Don't say salam. And he will never let you implement the salam. Is this not the case? Tell me, oh, yesterday you did these sins. Oh, be ashamed of yourself. You think that through salam you're going to get beads? No. That you thought you're going to go and pray fajr. You're going to recite Quran. No. For example, I'm going to do salam. You have these thoughts, you want to do goodies, but the waswas of shaitan comes to prevent you. But what did Rasulullah say? What are these? That when such a situation arises and waswas of shaitan comes, that you are sinful, leave these goodies. Remember this hadith? The person who was trying to get into Jannah, and all he did was cut that tree. Allah's Nabi said, due to that action of removing the obstacle, he went to paradise. So don't think negative, that I'm getting a chance now, and I don't know that all my actions are dirty, but I've got total yakin, this chance of right now in my life, Allah through this good deed will send me and deliver me to paradise. Always think like this. Women folk have lots of chances at home. Women, the sisters, oh, let me make this food today. I make it for this reason. I cook this food. My husband likes this dish. I'll cook for him. Inshallah, I'll get a good deed when my husband will be happy. Tell me. Will she get Jannah or not? Tell me. And she will cook, not just eat herself. Not that she will also eat the food. So that's beneficial for her in the world. Oh, my husband, he likes this dish, this recipe. I'm not in the mood. Let me do this today so he's happy. So will she get good deed? Not tell me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the open playing field. But shaitan comes, why are you doing this? What's the benefit of this? You are sinful. You are this man and this and that. Totally deflates you. Don't think, listen to shaitan, has given you a chance, opportunity, and I'm getting this opportunity for this reason, that due to this good deed, I will succeed. Yes, whenever a good opportunity comes through, a good deed, it comes in front of you, and it's live, and you should jump and run to that good deed. And even, and you can say, I can do this, that's it. and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm successful. Allah Ta'ala, all the sins I've committed, due to this action, Allah forgive me. Okay, let me do this for that person. Let me show him the way, the path, and help that person, assist. Whatever good deed comes in front of you, at whatever time, live, jump onto the action. Totally don't think that I can't do this with shaitan injects also. The other factor, so these were for people like us. But why don't the people on high levels do this? Subhanallah, I'm this. Are you greater than the Sahaba? Say Subhanallah. People today say, no, I'm pious. I don't need to do these small deeds. No, we rectify the world. We guide people. I don't need to practice these things. I do this and I get so many rewards. This has finished us of takabbur. What did he create with his waswasa in the high level Muslimin? Yeah, not last low level. He says to us people, humble people, you're a waste of time, sinful. But for the high level people, he injects the waswasa. Oh, you're pious. You don't need to practice small deeds. Have you forgotten that Allah's Nabi Sallam in his life, he demonstrated to us the good deeds, how to practice them. Tell me. Masjid Nabawi is being constructed. Everyone's taking part in Rasulullah Sallam himself. He said, I will pick up the bricks as well. I will lay the foundations as well. Do I not need good deeds? Practically demonstrated to the Sahaba. He trained his murids, the Sahaba, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Have you seen this? How, Alhamdulillah, he was in front in giving the example, and he gave courage and determination to his Sahaba. So, person today who is pious, and he has waswasa, he goes to kibar, I have no need to practice good deeds, says the Muslim. I'm high grade, high level, I'm knowledgeable, I guide people, and shaitan doesn't even let him go near to good deeds. He makes him bone idle. Such hazrat, respected people, shaitan makes them retired. So there are two peoples, one of those lower level people, the minor people, the normal people, and he makes them, shaitan think that they're sinful. And the other people, the learned people, they, shaitan does waswasa, makes them think they're pious and they've reached already. And both fail, both fail. So the cure has been given to us, subhanallah. That we are all monkeys anyway, everybody. We're all animals, not even monkeys, because monkeys are very intellectual. A G point I'm telling you, unique. A monkey, very intellectual. We, even if you take a lesson from the monkey, that's enough for us. Yeah? The human being is a deep creation. This point's coming in my mind. If you like it, then accept it, embrace it, otherwise reject it. Allah Ta'ala in the human being has instilled something that today I've realized why that thing is there inside the human being. What is that? Allah Ta'ala's, whose house is this? He says, oh, I want to make a house like this as well. Says the human being. Whose car is this? Oh, I'd like a car like this. Whose shoes are these trainers? Ooh, I'd like trainers and shoes like this. This jacket, I want a jacket like this. And women, ooh, she's got a ring, I need a ring like this. She's got jewelry, I want jewelry. Yes? There's so much we imitate people, run after people. If somebody's face is red, then we'll slap the other side and make that red as well. Example in Punjabi, innit? That, ooh, I want my face to be red as well. His face is red by nature. We'll smack ourselves so much to make our faces red, just to copy somebody. Is this not in our nature, in the insan? But this is a very beneficial thing Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Say, Subhanallah. Yes, la tukliful mi'ah. There's nothing that Allah Ta'ala has created which has no use. There's a big secret that I'm sharing with you here. Subhanallah. It's a beneficial point that Allah Ta'ala has instilled in my mind. That how much the defect is within us that we run after people and copy them. But Allah says that you are without any defects. Subhanallah. Why would Allah create a characteristic inside us if we pay attention to it? Then it's very beneficial to us. Those things that we think are bad, Allah Ta'ala says nothing is bad if you use it in the beneficial way and positively. To copy people, this is a very good habit. To have the habit of copying, it will take you into paradise. And this habit of copying will also take you into Jahannam, into hellfire. Remember, two opposites. مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Is this not hadith? Rasulullah said, whoever you imitate, you will be with those people in the hereafter. So now imitate who you want to, like you do today. Is this beneficial? Yeah, look, a big, big hadith to imitate how great an action it is. And the consequences are severe. If you imitate who? A good person, a pious person, subhanallah, then it will take you to the heights. So the even imitating, just like I said, you know, monkeys, what is their job? Monkeys, whatever you do, they start imitating you, copying you, pestering you. I've paid attention. Why? Realize that they've got intellect and they've given us a great message. The monkeys, very big message. What? That if you have a good habit, if you want to learn good habits, if you want to become a good human being, then there's one solution. Go to such a person who does the good things already. take his company. Qulu ma sadiqin, Allah says. Do you understand what I'm saying? What a beautiful point. Qulu ma sadiqin. Oh, I'm weak, I'm not good, I'm not righteous. Then first thing I understood is I'm bone idle. What's the solution? Then go to the company of righteous people who already are practicing good things. Then what's the effect of that? That the characteristic that you've got inside of you, you'll start imitating that good person. Naturally, one day you'll become fanaful shaykh. Whatever he does, you will start imitating him. Footstep by footstep. That's why I stated, go to the walis of Allah and sit with them. Go into the company, you'll start copying them, imitating them. Yes, that as he reminds you, eventually you'll wear the imamah. It took a long time. Sometimes it takes a long time for students. But if you keep coming to your sheikh, inshallah one day you will be drowned in the color of your sheikh. Immersed. You'll have your beard like him and the dress like him, attire, because you're imitating him, copying him. Allah has put that characteristic inside you that you want to run after people and copy them. Then you'll see, oh, this man's got nur inside him. Say subhanallah. And another point I understand here, that's why it stated the shaykh, so but don't leave it. Doesn't matter how low you are, doesn't matter how weak you are, doesn't matter how sinful you are, but don't leave the sohbat of your shaykh. Doesn't matter how weak you are, inshallah, you will attain success. Inshallah. That's how the effect of the shaykh will overtake you. Do you understand my point or what I'm saying? That's why it's stated, emphasized, that sit in the company of the shaykh. That's why it's stated in the hadith. Take hold of good company. Never reject good company. You'll never be at loss if you sit in the good company. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us this. Why? Because Allah's put a quality in the human being of imitating. So this is imitating goodness, and that nur will come into you. And if you're not good yourself, don't worry. If you're not doing any good actions, good habits, then there's only one solution for this qawm ummah today. Today, this ummah is only one solution. If we want to be good, that speeches don't go beyond our ears. Remember, hadith don't go beyond our ears. We are in such a loss of life that our phones are full of dirty messages and communication and bad habits and such good things. Ulama, respected scholars, they work hard for hours, they speak, but it doesn't take effect in our lives. So today, what are we desperately in need of? Go and look for a waliullah and sit in his company. That's the only solution. Say subhanallah. Totally, 100%, honestly, I'm telling you the path. Take the experience from what I'm saying. Experience is only one solution for the ummah today. That as the ummah is spoiled today in a bad way, and as the ummah gets worse and worse and worse, and the stench and the dirt accumulates, will be kathra jal, drought, so hard. Don't look for Bayezid Bastami. Don't look for Junaid Baghdadi in this day and age, in this era. Forget that. Even Hazrat Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, don't even look for a sheikh like that. Even if you get the small example of a waliullah, run after that person. Understand that as a treasure of Allah. The most foolish human being is he who today in this day and age era, he says that I can automatically myself be on the right path. I read Quran, I do zikr myself. You can never be safe from nafs and shaitan. I spoke about good deeds today. Next week, next time we'll speak about sins. Sins. These are the two factors that will give us success or failure. Jannah or Jahannam. So today, good deeds, the points we discussed today, that direct you will enter into paradise through good deeds, and sin. Sin is direct entry into hellfire. Direct. You cannot be saved. Today in this era and day and age, in this generation, the era of darkness, so far we've gone from deen that we can imagine. If you want to be saved, one solution. Istiqamat, steadfast. No, sometimes you come, then you run away. One day you come, next day you don't come. The more you want to quickly take the effect and color of the deen, more you should sit in the company of the wali. More sit in the sohbat of the company. And sitting isn't you're talking, gossiping, nothing. Sit. And attend automatically, as I said, the knuckle, automatically you'll start to imitate the teacher automatically when you sit in the sohbat. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? So all of this you should understand, alhamdulillah. Most important factor is good deeds. Even a small deeds, don't waste them, don't waste the opportunity. Doesn't matter how small it is. And we waste big good deeds, big good deeds. And Jannah, paradise, won't be attained through just big deeds. That's if Allah accepts them. Tahajjud, will my tahajjud be accepted? Will my hajj be accepted? Will my umrah be accepted? Will my other actions be accepted? Who knows? Who knows? But small deeds, Allah guarantees, Allah says, I like them, you'll get success. Big examples of this, Allah Ta'ala wants. Big example. One individual was sat on a shop business, but his shop was running, business, his friend passed by. He said, listen to me. He said, what is it you're saying? He said, I'm just sat down in my shop, running my business, remembering Allah. He said, what, how are you remembering Allah? You're running your business. There are people in this day and age, you will find people like this as well. They sat in their business premises and they do dhikrullah. There are people like that present today as well. It's not the case that they're not good people. He said, you should come and join me as well. He said, yaar, I need to go quickly. He said, just sit 2 minutes with me. Let's do maraqbah. Just remember Allah. Do meditation in the heart. Remember Allah. He said, okay, I'll sit with you. So he said, what should I do? He said, sit down with me in my shop. Say, Allah, 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 2 minutes. He sat with him, his friend, and he started with dhikr, maraqbah, did dua. He left after 2 minutes. Next day he passed away, that person who visited the shop, who did dhikr for 2 minutes. And his friend saw him in a dream that he's wandering around in paradise, in Jannah, enjoying himself. He said, yaar, I know you very well. He said, just like you, you are a person of the dunya, you are weak in the practice. How did you arrive into paradise? He said, yaar, you are the one who sent me to paradise due to your invitation. He said, how did I send you to paradise? He said, you allowed me. That day I sat in your shop, did dhikr. Allah Ta'ala said, this small action I like so much. The people running the business and you are remembering me doing dhikr in the marketplace. Allah Ta'ala says, a person who's negligent, Allah makes him his beloved. So today the whole world is ghafil with the dhikr. They've left dhikr Allah. They don't even know about dhikr anybody. Such a great deed. Allah Ta'ala has given examples of dhikr Allah with a beautiful example. Yusubbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Walahul mulku. Allah says in the Quran, in so many places Allah mentions, directly, yusubbihu. Allahul mulku samawati wa lam. Allah says, look around you. The heavens and the earth, everything in the universe remembers me. Allah says, why don't you listen, human beings? In so many places in the Quran, Allah is reminding us. Why are you ghafil, human being? Why are you negligent? The whole world is existing due to dhikr. Musa said, Allah, if this is the case, show me something doing dhikr. Allah says, you won't be able to bear that sight, O Musa. Allah said, you want to see? And Musa said, yes. Allah then unraveled and showed him the secret. And he, when he saw everything in the universe saying, Allah, Allah, tasbih, praising, glorifying Allah. Every particle, atom, everything around us, next to us is doing dhikr Allah. Everything that has a life, we don't know that apart from the creation we see. But everything that's around us, that's a creation of Allah, is a dhakir. Everything we can see around us is impossible. I swear by Allah that it's not doing dhikr Allah at this moment in time. How can it be it's not doing dhikr? That it cannot be in existence if it's not doing dhikr of Allah. It cannot be alive. Me and you, we are here based on one factor, Allah Ta'ala's name. The whole universe is in existence. Allah's Nabi Sallam said that the universe will end on that day when there nothing will remain who recites Allah's name. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. What a great, great statements, Allah's verses in the Quran. The universe, every particle, atom, molecule remembers me, does my dhikr. Why? Why? Allah says, is remembering me. Like alhamd, I am the king, Allah says. I am the emperor, Allah says. Everything should praise me. You know the king in the world, when you go to his land, he expects you to respect him, honor him, to run up to him and beg him. Isn't it? If there's an officer, minister, you'll say first run up to him, how are you, sir? Respected sir, are you okay? Sir, can you sign my documents? Yes, you have to run after the boss. Allah says, the boss will say, it's my right. The king will say, it's my right. I'm the king, the queen. Bow in front of me. Glorify me. Print my picture on the cash, on the notes. I want my picture on the currency. Because I'm king. I'm the queen, says the leader. Allah Ta'ala says, these are all waste of time. Temporary leaders. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. The malik of the universe. The true malik. Should we not praise him all day long? Allah says, how can you dare that I am your Lord? I give you body, food, sustenance, Jannah give to you, paradise, everything. I am the Malik of the universe and you don't do my dhikr, Allah says. You don't do my dhikr. Can he be a human being who doesn't do dhikr? Can she be a woman? Can he be a man who doesn't do dhikr of Allah, who lives his life without dhikrullah? Impossible. Impossible. And today, our hal, our condition, we don't know nothing about dhikrullah. So this is called ghafil, lazy. This is the day and age of ghafiloon. You know, we say the bad era, the bad generation, the good and the bad. We say good people, modern. We call modern planes, high-rise buildings, technology, digital age, science, microscopes. We call this the modern age. Yes? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does he say? Modern is what? And who's backward and who's modern? Allah says, modern generation is that generation in which Allah Ta'ala's dhikr is being done, salah is being prayed. That's the modern era. People are remembering Allah doing dhikr. The whole world is full of dhakireen. Allah says, that's the modern people. And backward, third class, backward people are those who don't do dhikrullah. They're the backward people, the worst people. This is the worst era of all that we are in now. So in this backward era we're living in now, Allah says, the ghafil backward era you're living in now, nobody remembers Allah. Allah says, if one person remembers Allah now, Allah will elevate him to the heights. So my brothers, you've understood this message now. The injection is coming to you already. Such a loss if we don't practice this. I'm not inviting you to come to me. I'm not calling you to me. I don't say I am become my murid, my students. No. When there's dhikr of Allah, do it. Don't look at my face. Don't look at me. Don't come for me. Don't come for my sake. Understand, this is Allah's treasure. It's morning time. Dhikr gathering. Is there any greater treasure in the universe than the majlis in the morning? Tell me. There's nothing greater treasure in the universe in the morning than the majlis of dhikr. There's no greater mercy of Allah descending from the skies to any gathering more than this. There's no more du'as accepted than in the morning time, the majlis of dhikr. How can you think? Oh, Hajj and Umrah. Think about Hajj and Umrah. Such events of barakah and blessings. Yes, with the ibadah, with the qurban, nearness of Allah, of love of Allah, umrah and hajj, those actions. Allah Ta'ala says that they are great actions. But when my dhikr is performed, then Allah says, I will give you the thawab beyond that. Because He's done my dhikr. That if you do umrah, you have to come here. If you do hajj, you have to come here. But dhikr Allah says, what a great action it is. What a great action. Allah says that when you're doing umrah, leave them. If they're doing hajj, leave them. But my beloved jama'ah who does my dhikr, I will give them that same thawab wherever they do my dhikr. So should we come to the majlis in the morning or not? Tell me. Or wherever it is. So it should be tomorrow I'm off. Okay, tomorrow is my day off. Let's go today and go. Let me sit with Hazrat morning time, do maraqbah, do dhikr. Yes, yes, come, come. On that day off, we sleep even more. We leave the gathering more. No, no, no. Pray Fajr earlier. Go home and sleep and snore. Day off, we're snoring. We're not even the majlis. On the day off, you should have the intention. Tomorrow's my day off. I'll do dhikr. Then I'll go home and have breakfast. And for breakfast, what do we have? Paratha, chane. And you know, people sell them in the restaurants. Good big breakfast, special breakfast on the day off. Sunday day, you know, Sunday breakfast. Yeah. So chane and pae and pilau and parathas and chapatis. Yes, so I have to do dhikr on the day off, go home, and then you get the reward of Hajj and Umrah, Allah's rahmas and mercies, Allah's grace and further. Then you'll be a high level human being, recite durood and dwayam, then go and eat food and consume Allah's ni'mas that come to your life after that. No, 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 it's day off, I want to sleep more. Shun the majlis. Look how far we are. Tell me, for Hajj, how much struggle a man has to undertake from Africa, America, USA, and Europe. You have to travel far to do Hajj. Is their Hajj accepted? Tell me. Do they know if it's accepted? Yeah? But dhikr, yes, is your umrah kabool? Biggest condition. First condition, your earnings halal. Whose earnings is halal today? Tell me. Don't take what I'm saying negatively. First condition of Hajj and Umrah. First condition of Umrah and Hajj is your earnings have to be halal and pure. Not that you book the ticket online. That's not the condition of Hajj and Umrah. Oh, I've been invited. But forget the invitation. First question. First question. Sharia. Look at Sharia, Islamic law. Is your earnings according to Sharia? The Hajj that you performed? Or do you have to check again? That I've done Hajj. Look back in the Hajj. What were your earnings at that time? If they weren't correct, do Hajj again. Do Hajj again. Pure money. That's earned through your blood and sweat. No lying, no fraud, no deception. No, no, no. You've done Hajj and Umrah every year. Hajj and Umrah, five Hajj, time and time again. Go quietly again and do your Hajj if your earnings first time around were not correct. I'm not giving you fatwa. This is taqwa that I'm giving you the message. Hajj maybe is accepted, Allah knows. But if you ask a Sufi, that's the reply Sufi will go. He'll give to you that, no, 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 Hajj you need to perform again. Yes, Sufi's reply is based on taqwa, fear of Allah. If you ask a Mufti, you say, no, 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 you Hajj accepted. Oh, he's fine, you don't need to go. It's mukammal, totally completed. Maybe he's right, maybe he's also right, the Sufi. Do you understand what I'm saying? So my brothers, one Hajj, one Umrah, thawab. Yes, you have to travel far, you have to earn, you have to travel. Allah says that Masjid Zakaria, if you come there morning, and you'll get the reward of Hajj and Umrah in the morning, after the majlis. This is called small good deeds, accumulate them. If you take a footstep on every footstep, the angels, mashallah, will accept your du'as, do du'a for you. May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us tawfiq ability, that we can understand what is deen, and in this day and age era, what is the practice of the deen. Don't run after just routine.
In this era, look, what do we need? What's lacking in life? What's the deficit? What's the deficit? And live your life according to that and earn the hereafter. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا غزيرا كثيرا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطفنا ومبدنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا نفوسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واغشنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا جنہوں نے اپنے بیماروں کے لیے دعا کے لیے کہ اللہ پاک ان سب کو شفا کاملا آج نصیب فرمائے جو ہسپتالوں میں اللہ تعالیٰ کو شفا عطا فرمائے جو گھروں میں بیمار ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ کو شفا عطا فرمائے اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم دمرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.